Our first scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which begins on page 959 in your pew Bibles. We'll read the entire chapter of the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Hear now the word of our Lord. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And our second scripture reading will come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read the first three verses of 1 Thessalonians 1. That's on page 986 in your pew Bible. And now the first three verses of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we have read the word of the Lord, let us go to Him now in prayer. Merciful Father, we thank you that you have given us your holy word, and we confess that this is your word. We ask that you would hide it in our hearts, water it with your grace so that it would bear fruit in our lives, and we ask that you would be with the proclamation of your word this morning, that your name would be glorified and your people edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to do something slightly different here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a topical series about hope. And what it is and why it's important. What are its enemies? How we can stir hope up within us. And so we're going to start with the question of what is hope? Because as we just read in 1 Corinthians 13, that hope is one of the three things that remain. There are three that remain: faith, hope, and love. We often see faith, hope, and love mentioned and discussed together. 1 Corinthians 13 puts them together as the three that remain, as the three great gifts. Paul, in that section of Corinthians between 12 and 14, is arguing about the gifts that the Lord has given. And he talks about tongues and interpretation and prophecies and knowledge and healing. And he says, but there's a greater gift. And he gives us this discussion of love. And he says, there are three great gifts that remain: faith, hope, and love. And that we as Christians ought to desire those, the greater gifts. They are the essentials. Speaking in tongues passes away. Prophecy will end. knowledge ends, healing departs. All of those were non-essential, but faith, hope, and love are essential to the Christian and to the church. And what the Christian should desire is faith, hope, and love. If we simply long to speak in tongues, that's missing the mark. Longing to be a prophet is to misunderstand what really helps us live the Christian life in this world. It fails to value the gifts rightly. For the three gifts that remain are faith, hope, and love. There are no better gifts in the world than these. And then we read here in 1 Thessalonians, especially verse 3, it says, "Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope." Some of your translations may say the patience of hope. This is part of Paul's introduction in this book. He's thanking God that their faith works, that they live it out. Faith has produced action in their lives. So they have the work of faith. And love has done similar things. It's a labor of love. We just read in 1 Corinthians 13 that even if they did great works, if they didn't do them in love, then they were just clanging cymbals and sounding brass. And so he's thankful that their faith works and that their labor is in love. And then he mentions hope as well, and he links it with patience or steadfastness. And the steadfastness of hope. Because this work of faith that it's done in love was also done steadfastly without fail. It's not quitting. It's constant. Why? Because of hope. Hope produces the constancy. If you read the rest of Thessalonians, we see that hope in Christ Jesus includes things like the idea of His second coming and return. That the dead in Christ are with Him now and will rise with us again. Because some were doubting and they thought they may have missed Christ's return. Some were concerned about what happened to those who died before them. And Paul writes to them, encouraged them so that they would have the right hope and that they wouldn't mourn as those who don't have hope. Because that hope produces steadfastness, it produces constancy, it produces patience. In fact, if you just look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, you say, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." Paul starts 1 Thessalonians discussing faith, hope, and love. And he comes back to it here as he's wrapping up faith, hope, and love, mentioned again. Faith and love linked, joined together here as the breastplate, a protection against our heart. It's faith that gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ and allows us to stand before God in His righteousness. But hope is linked here to the helmet, the hope of salvation. It serves a different function. The hope of salvation protects our minds as a helmet protects one's head. The enemy of hope is doubt, and Satan would love to work doubt into our hearts about Jesus, about His return, about His promises, about heaven, about all of it. And if we were to give in to those doubts, we would lose hope. And then losing hope, we would lose our patience or steadfastness or our willingness to continue despite what we see around us. And so hope here is linked to the helmet of salvation. It's the hope that particularly fights off the sword of doubt that is swung by our great enemy. And so we see faith, hope, and love so often joined together in the Scriptures. We do often see them discussed separately as well. Faith, you might have remembered Hebrews 11 chapter 1 that gives us that definition of faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. We can see that biblical definition reflected in our Heidelberg Catechism question 21, where true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that is God has revealed to us in His Word, but also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also. Forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. We can see this definition of faith includes the idea of knowing in the certain knowledge, or as Hebrews says, in the substance of things not seen. And it includes a trust, a hearty trust, or as Hebrews speaks of it, as an assurance of things hoped for. Heidelberg spells out a little bit more of the specifics of what we have this knowledge and trust in. But both acknowledge that this faith comes from God. That this faith comes from God and involves a knowledge and a trust. And so we have a biblical verse that gives us a very quick and succinct definition of faith. And we have 1 Corinthians 13 that gives us that definition of love that we just read. That it's patient and kind and not arrogant. It's not rude or boastful or envious. It doesn't insist on its own way. It doesn't rejoice in wrong things, but rather in the truth. It endures all things and hopes all things, believes all things. It never ends. And this way we can see what love is. This passion or emotion that manifests itself by putting others before oneself. This matches with what we see when we are told that God is love. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God in His love put us before Himself and died for us before we loved Him. As Jesus tells us, no greater love can one have than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Love is much more than just an emotion. It involves our heart and it is emotion, but one that manifests itself in selfless action. And so we have these great verses defining for us faith and love. But hope doesn't have one that specifically defines it. We're left to cobble together a definition from around the Scriptures. Because we can see that it's clearly an important concept, so often linked with faith, hope, and love, and so often discussed in the Scriptures. For example, we went through Romans a few months ago, Romans 5. Verses 3 and 4 say, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. So first we can see that hope flows from our character, probably that character of faith that Paul's been discussing in chapters 4 and 5. That's where our hope flows. And it guides and helps us in time of suffering. As we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, we through the Spirit by faith eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Or Titus chapter 2, verse 13, waiting for the one blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In these two verses, we can see that hope involves waiting. That we are called to wait for the one blessed hope and eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And hope then aids our waiting as well. Hope goes beyond simply trusting that the thing is coming, which we saw was a part of faith, but it involves trust and goes further to be an expectation and a longing for those things that are promised to us but we do not yet have. Hope flows from our faith and eagerly desires to have that which we know is coming. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, we see that it's linked to Jesus Himself. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Hope's manifested in a person ultimately. In Christ. Faith, hope, and love all have their root in Jesus Christ. If we divorce hope from Jesus, then we've destroyed the foundation of our hope. He's the solid rock upon which we stand. Hope is found in Christ Jesus, our hope. He's the one who gives us hope. He's the one that allows us to stand firm when the rain of persecution falls and the trials and the troubles come. He's the one who's not the shifting sand. And we can see thus that hope is a necessary thing, that it must flow from our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith produces work that's done in love and with hope so that it doesn't stop, as we just read in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Because they're rooted in Jesus Christ, love and hope flow out of our faith. They accompany faith from its inception in our hearts and they flow out of it. True love and hope cannot exist apart from faith because they cannot exist apart from Christ, and faith is the instrument by which we laid hold of Him. This is one of the reasons that the definition of faith sometimes seems to include things like hope. And that it's often very difficult to say, this is faith and this is love and this is hope, and they're all separate things. Because they do mingle and mix. It's one of the reasons that they are so often mentioned together. Faith produces love and hope. Which also reminds us that the world cannot give us or sustain true hope. If we base our hope on the things of the world that rust and end and fail, then our hope will come to nothing. It must be from Jesus Himself. And this hope is necessary because it does help us with this waiting. It's given to us by God in order to help us with the wait, that we might eagerly expect those promises of God, and that will allow us to wait. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, the first 9 verses, Peter there discusses some of the ways that Satan and the world try to get people to lose faith and lose hope. For they say things like, where is God and where is Christ coming again? How can we wait for Christ coming again without hope? And so Peter points us to the nature of God as the promises of God to nourish our hope so that we will continue on in faith and continue to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ even while the world mocks and says, where is your God? Hope feeds and strengthens us, especially when times are hard or things have not gone as we thought. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, that hope is given to us by God. Jesus and the Father gave us good hope through grace, so we can say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for our hope. And we can see part of the purpose of this great gift, that hope will comfort our hearts and establish us in works and word, so that when we go through hard times, the good hope of Christ can comfort our minds and our hearts. For example, when we lose a loved one, we can have a hope. It'll feed and nourish our souls with the promises of Christ and life everlasting, that those who die in Him, that their death is precious in the sight of the Lord, and that they've gone ahead to be with Him. When we ourselves face death, we can have comfort thanks to hope, which reminds us that the Lord went before us to prepare a place for us in heaven, and that He's promised to be with us even through the valley of the shadow of death. When persecution comes, hope keeps us going in good works, remembering that all events are controlled and ordered by God for the good of those who love Him, as we're told in Romans 8. Hope is a gift of God given us to help strengthen us in these hard times. So we can see from asking what is hope, that first and foremost, that Christ must be the basis of our hope. That eager waiting and expectation for the things that we do not yet have is rooted in Jesus Himself. Hoping and hope itself is not an option. Our hope must have a basis. It must have a found. There must be a reason that we eagerly expect and wait. And that's because Christ has told us. Because Christ Himself has won the victory over sin and death. Because Christ has told us that He's gone ahead to prepare a place. Because Christ has promised us He will come again. And then those things then we can expect and eagerly wait for His return, because He said, I will come. And He's the God who cannot lie. As Paul says, He's Christ Jesus, our hope. You ought not place your hope in anything else, because everything else will fall short and fail. But we also can see, in taking a look at what hope is and what it does for us, that we must be prepared to wait. And as Christians, this is often very hard, especially in today's age, where we wait for so few things. If I want to watch an entire season of a TV show, I can just sit down on a Saturday and stream episode after episode, back to back. I don't even have to wait for weeks or months anymore. If I want popcorn to eat while I'm watching the show, I can put it in the microwave. In less than 2 minutes, it's popped and ready for me to go. If I want pizza, I can just call and somebody brings it to my door. Waiting has become a difficult thing. If we're waiting in the line of a drive-thru for more than a few minutes, we get angry and mad. What could possibly be taking so long to fix my burger? But think about the Scriptures and how often God told people to wait. Abraham was told he would have a child, but he didn't get it right away. No, he waited years. The Israelites were promised that they would inherit the land of Canaan. But they waited for 400 years and they waited in slavery. David was anointed king of Israel, but he didn't actually become king for years after he was anointed. And in fact, had to run for his life during this time, where he had to wait for that which was promised him. The kingdom of Judah was sent into exile in Babylon, and they waited 70 years. And just think how long they had to wait for the arrival of the Messiah that was promised to Adam in the garden, that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And for thousands of years, people waited for this promise to come true. And it was not until Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and He died on the cross that it happened. They waited and they waited. And they eagerly expected those things to come that they were promised. And it did. Because God keeps His Word. God's not slack in keeping His promises. As Peter tells us in that 2 Peter 3. He keeps His Word. And we too have to wait. We often pray for things and they're not answered immediately. It's not like a light switch where we pray, heal me, and it's healed. Take away the virus. Sometimes we're told to wait. We're told to wait that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we wait. And we have to be prepared to wait when we pray, when we ask, and when we look forward for these things. And we ought to eagerly look forward to them. But thanks to hope, we can wait. And then let us remember also that hope is never alone. That there are three gifts that remain: faith, hope, and love. And that we ought to want what Paul remembers and thanks the Lord for about the people in Thessalonica, that ought to be what we are characterized by, the work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. That is what we as Christians are called to. To live out our faith, to do it in love, and to do it in hope, so that we don't stop, so that we're constant, so that we're steadfast. May the Lord make this true of St. John's and of His church here on earth. We do the work of faith and labor of love in the steadfastness of hope that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the great gifts that You have given us of faith, hope, and love. And we ask that You would make us a people of hope who are able to wait, who are steadfast in doing Your will, who eagerly expect those things that You have told us to come to pass. Protect us from the doubt spread by Satan. Protect us from growing weary. Nourish us with Your hope through grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.